1-1. Pitch is driven high and deep down the left field line. It is way back. It's at the wall. It is gone! Pinch hit. 3-run homer for Alex Bregman. In the friendly confines, it is 5-1 Red Sox.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. You can stream us anytime on the Odyssey app as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. A lot of ways to hear us talking about the Red Sox, Keefe. Up and down weekend.
Yeah, ended on a good note.
But it ended on the upswing. They were glass half full people.
Yeah, for
on
sure.
On this show.
Started and real bad, though.
Half that game yesterday,
yeah,
it looked like disaster territory.
I meant the series started real bad.
No,
but even the game itself, right.
No, I'm saying 2.5 games in,
yeah.
You're looking at it like this is the Dodgers series from a year ago.
Right.
Where they hit the All-Star break in a decent spot. More on that in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Comparing it to last season and this year prior even. But they felt like they were teetering. And then Abreu gives them life with a 2-run shot. You have Alex Bregman hit the pinch hit 3-run homer. And I personally feel a lot different sitting here today than I did in the middle of that game where it was borderline panic in the streets. Starting by getting swept by the Cubs in the second half of the year, that wasn't going to fly. Losing 2 out of 3, not ideal.
No.
We can all acknowledge it. But they've still won 11 out of their last 13, 5 out of 7 once they start stop cleaning up on Colorado and the Nationals. 5 out of 7 against playoff teams. Okay. I mean,
yeah.
that I could talk myself into as opposed to getting swept by Chicago to start the second.
Well, and because the way it lined up, they take the All-Star break. Both Crochet and Bregman are like, we're going to rest up. We're not even going to play in the All-Star game. Like, we're so focused on the second half. Part of me did think, you know, you couldn't have been any hotter. You take a week off, it might cool some things down, which it did. But also, coming out of the break, you're like, are these three guys starting this series? Like, that is who you want starting. Giolito and Bayo have been pitching great. And then, of course, Crochet. And so you were in jeopardy going into the 6th, 7th inning last night or yesterday afternoon. Like, oh, man, not only are they going to get swept, but it's not even like you threw him a Walker Buehler or you threw a Richard Fitz. It was like your three best guys. And then, thankfully, the bats and Willy Abreu and then Bregman, like, got going a little bit and you were able to beat a Cubs team, which is one of the best in baseball. But I also don't think the Red Sox are we've talked about this a lot, lose to the good teams, beat the bad teams. That wasn't what they were for the first, 90 games of the season. So, yeah, I went in hopeful that they were going to take 2 out of 3, knowing that the Cubs were solid and had good pitching. They also had their pitching lined up, and you were getting their guys, too. And that's a really good lineup, a couple of all-stars in there. But, them turning around was a huge sigh of relief. You're like, you just lost the series, but the way things were going, and then Zach Wheeler tonight for the Phillies, you're like, this could get out of hand quick.
That's exactly what you're doing. You're watching the game going, well, they're going to lose a Crochet start. Where he pitched, not like vintage Crochet. He wasn't mowing people down.
Good enough, though.
But he had only given up the 1 run. It's 1-0. The offense is dead. It's been dead all weekend. And tomorrow, which is now tonight, but sitting there yesterday watching the game, you're like, it's about to be Zach Wheeler against Walker Buehler, which I couldn't draw up a worse matchup on paper. And that's what was looming. And so they needed that victory yesterday. You don't want to call it a must win, but it was pretty close. Sitting there on July 20th, starting the second half of the year, based on how they've gone these last couple of seasons. So my question is, Keith, when it comes to the trade deadline and investing in the team and Craig Breslow making a big move, we can debate what that is. Some names certainly were more on board with than others. Did they do enough this weekend to stay in that buyer's mix?
Yeah, I think they have to. Like, I think so. Now, I also came into it being like they for sure should be buyers, and they have all the reason and ammunition to be able to buy. They have a good farm system. They have guys on the major league roster that other teams would want, clearly, but I think there's a way to buy without even sacrificing those guys. They also, in John Henry's ledger, they have money to spend, right? Like, they're way under. They dumped all of Devers' contract.
It's a good point. Henry probably doesn't want to spend any more money,
obviously.
But I'm sure with dumping the Devers contract, he's a little more open to adding some payroll than he otherwise would have been.
It's a lot easier for Breslow to say, hey, if we add this player, this is how much it's going to cost the whole season compared to what it was. he probably got a gold star for getting rid of Devers and getting rid of his whole deal. So he has a little bit more leeway. But we knew coming out of the All-Star break there was going to be 12 games prior to the trade deadline, which is on Thursday, July 31st. Also happens to be an off day for the team. But what's their record going to be over that span? How are they going to still be a playoff team? Which they are. Even after losing 2 out of 3, they're still a playoff team as of right now. You have a tough schedule coming up. If you can kind of go, if you go 500 over the 12 games out of the break, 6-6, my guess is you're still either a playoff team or maybe a game back, depending on what like Seattle and Tampa Bay are doing. That screams bye. That's absolutely still a bye.
100%.
So, and I think even as they're losing some of these games, you got to ask yourself, all right, what does one big right-handed batter do for this lineup? Or what does one extra good starter do for this rotation? That's why you're in this situation that you are. Like, you're not the perfect team. Like, you do need help. They should go out and get it.
And, again, we've had calls about this the last few weeks. Other teams are going to get better. So if you're not improving, the teams around you are getting better, you're actually getting worse. I wouldn't wait for the reinforcements, although getting Bregman back, that was huge yesterday. I know he didn't return yesterday, but that was the biggest impact he's made in a game. So to me, that was monumental. And there's a ton of reasons to buy. If they go 6-6, as you said, 12 games out of the All-Star break, counting these first three against Chicago, they should definitely be buying. I would advise Breslow not to wait that long. Like, I would advise Breslow.
No, you're allowed to make trades now.
Get in there a little quicker. It'd be nice to have some reinforcements against the Dodgers this weekend. It'd be nice to get them mid-series against Philly if you want to do that. So I would advise them not waiting that long. There's an off day coming up, right? Thursday's an off day.
Yep.
So there's an off day to get in there and get something done. Twitch chat brought this up, Keith. I hate to go back to the Devers trade.
I know. We're past it.
I don't want to do it.
Yeah, but.
But since the Twitch chat brought it up.
Gee.
They struggled on offense over the weekend. Maybe if Devers were here, that would make a difference.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Just to read you these again. Devers still stuck on 2 homers, 10 RBIs. He's hitting .208. The Giants are 11-17 since the addition, averaging 3.5 runs a game.
11-17. They've played themselves out of the playoffs. They were a playoff team, and somewhat safely, too. Were they the second wild card team the day of the trade?
They were the number 2 wild card, which the Red Sox are now currently tied for.
Right.
With the Seattle Mariners. Giants are, let's see, after getting swept this weekend.
It's a real Freaky Friday situation.
It is. They are out of a playoff spot. Two and a half games behind the Padres for the final wild cards.
They're on a 5-game skid right now.
And the guy that you signed this offseason, who's better than Devers, by the way, just came through in a massive spot. And I would not underestimate just a moment like that for Bregman. We talked a lot going into the All-Star break, Keith. The Fenway Park was just electric when Rafaela hit the walk-off against Tampa on that Friday night. And it's a moment that you can highlight and pick out and go, all right, I remember that game. That may or may not, we'll see the significance down the line.
Right.
But that's one you can circle and go, that might have been a pivotal game. This is one of those two. And Bregman coming through in that moment, having a signature moment. He's had a good season. He's missed a chunk of time, obviously. He's had a really good season. But having a signature moment like that in a big spot, and I know they were already up, but it didn't feel safe at 2-1, especially with Crochet coming out of the game. Having a signature moment like that, I wouldn't write that off.
Yeah.
Where you can point to it and say, this guy's going to come through in a big spot. He did come through in a big spot with a pinch hit home run.
Did he talk his way in? Is that what they were saying?
Well, so
what's the back and forth on that? I feel like...
I guess I didn't realize that.
Because I think Cora was like, you're getting the day off. Today. Yeah. You're not playing at all today, no matter what.
We were talking about this earlier. Text line did say that. I missed that on the
there
broadcast.
There was scuttlebutt on the broadcast. I don't know if it was confirmed afterwards, but they were like, this guy was told he wasn't going to play, had to be shut down. And you could see Cora even kind of like smile after. I mean, he had a home run. Obviously, he was happy about it. But it was just sort of like, this guy. Like,
yeah, so he said that he talked his way into the game.
Okay, so I didn't realize that. Now, I did hear Lou. I was listening to the broadcast because I heard Lou take off. He popped the top off there, Keith. Just the top layer.
Lou took his shirt off?
Well, he popped the
during
top,
the game?
He popped the top layer off. He took the sweater off. He's like, I got to get the offense
too
going.
Too hot.
Yeah, not the whole tarp.
Oh.
But just the top layer.
I mean, obviously, why not?
Yeah, you got him going.
That could be his thing.
Lou got the boys going.
Yeah.
So
topless Lou in the booth.
I did hear that.
Okay.
But I guess I missed the talking his way into the game discussion.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Either way.
I wouldn't even lean in on that to take credit away from Cora. I still give Cora credit for pinch hitting Bregman there. But if Bregman's talking his way in, this is what we're talking about.
It's good stuff.
Devers refused to go on the field, for God's sakes.
Yeah, no,
this guy's talking his way into the game on down days. And I think there's significance to that when it comes to this whole referendum on the trade. There's significance to that.
Yeah. And like as part of the 10-game winning streak were the moments like the Rafaela home run and just sort of the as corny as it is, like the vibes being high kind of thing. And you were wondering if some of the wind was getting knocked out after a week off. You lose two back-to-back games. You have some miscues again where like some of the old Red Sox things are popping back up.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, no. Like as good as that 10-game heater was, you're like, is this thing going to start to deteriorate a little bit? And then you get some good moments. You get some good kind of signature hang-your-hat-on-it moments. Some big at-bats by, obviously, Willy Abreu. Crochet good enough. You also turn it over to the bullpen. The bullpen was nails again for him. Should I be buying in on Jordan Hicks a little bit? Do I like Jordan Hicks?
I actually thought you were going to say a different name. I think all his numbers are low leverage, but
heat.
Well, okay, no, but that Alcala kid who came in at the end of the game.
Oh yeah, yeah. You like him?
Well, I don't know because the numbers are good and he throws smoke, but they only use him in like a situation like this where they're either losing by a bunch or up by a bunch. They're not using him in high leverage situations. Yeah. But he's got a .73 ERA. He's punching out a guy in an inning. He's throwing 100.
I don't want to jinx anything, and I know it's only been back-to-back scoreless outings for Jordan Hicks.
Yeah, you're buying in.
I kind of liked what I saw yesterday.
Okay,
I kind of liked it. You're throwing absolute cheddar.
I didn't realize you were now a Jordan Hicks guy.
Hicks. Well, they both suck.
Oh, we disagree.
Not yesterday, sir.
Apparently, Keith disagrees.
Not yesterday. You know, kindly, he was looking pretty good out there on the mound. Not the first guy.
Who would you rather have, Devers or Hicks?
Hicks.
Hicks.
Devers isn't throwing you a scoreless inning yesterday, is he?
No.
I doubt it.
He's punching out every other at bat.
No. So anyway, just another arm. And, you know, we're also getting a lot of texts about, you know, if you do add a starter, somebody else goes to the bullpen.
Correct.
And, you know, somebody's texting about Tanner Houck. I wouldn't hold my breath on Tanner Houck, but you could factor him into the formula of guys in the bullpen.
Well, are checking him out again?
What was it?
Didn't they send him back to the IL?
Yeah,
and check him out again.
I didn't really understand what was going on with those. I thought that was more of a paper transaction, but maybe they're actually maybe he's had a setback and I'm unaware of it. Look, I'd buy in on Houck maybe factoring into the bullpen. I'm not factoring him into the rotation at all. And the Red Sox, I would hope to God, aren't thinking about that either way. He's a wild card and a bonus, not something to count on in the rotation or out of the bullpen. Down the stretch, I did like something Crochet said after the game yesterday, and again, not vintage Crochet, but I don't know that I fully agree with his point, but I like this being the mindset of the clubhouse. This was Crochet after the win in Chicago to avoid the sweep.
The rest of this month is always about the trade deadline, and between the win streak and games like today, you're confident our front office will help you guys out?
Yeah, we got to win for that to happen. So today, you know, it's just another step in the right direction. Just hope to keep stacking games and. You know, whatever happens is really out of our control. It's really just on us to give them every reason to be buyers, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
I do know what he means. I know what you mean, Garrett. Like, go out there. We got to keep winning games. And they dropped the series, but you got to keep winning games. You got to stay in the mix. You got to stay in playoff position to invest in this team. And the reason for that, Keith, would be the last few years, three straight years. Credit to Justin Turpin.
Wow.
Turp. Who I guess said this on the air, didn't tweet it anywhere. I kept seeing tweets that were giving him credit. Rob Bradford's story on WEEI was giving
them
like
this.
Turp with the stat. I was looking on the internet. I'm like, where's the stat?
New feature, stat of the week.
Stat of the week from Turp.
You think Turp's got the stat of the week? It doesn't have to be from Turp. I'm just saying every week we have a stat of the week.
Stat of the week. I like it.
Stat of the week,
Hoss of the week. We tweet those
early nominee stat of the week.
I thought you were gonna say new idea pure baseball with Turp.
We'll see how this goes. I'll see how the stat of the week goes. See if he even wins stat of the week. There's a full week for stats.
Early candidate for stat of the week is from Tarp. Three straight years through 100 games, now 101 games for the Red Sox. But at that checkpoint, they've been 53-47 for three consecutive years. Now, Terps, has updated these numbers.
Yeah, this is wild.
I would argue the Red Sox are in a better spot. This year than they were, not just talent-wise, but just in the standings.
Vibes-wise,
for sure. They are currently in the final wild card spot. Terp said they're actually tied for the number 2 wild card spot, Terp, with a plus 52 run differential. A year ago, they were 2.5 games out of a wild card spot. Mm. Worst run differential, plus 33. 2023, they were 2 games out of a wild card spot, plus 41. So this is the best run differential they've had, and they're in playoff position. Despite the record being exactly the same, I would say some of those indicators are better for the Red Sox. Never mind their talent level, I think, is higher. Crochet,
right.
Bregman, the Roman Anthonys of the world, et cetera, et cetera.
Chapman's better than any closer you had.
Bingo. So I would say there's more reasons to trust this team than the past few years, Keith. Do you agree with that?
I do. I 100% agree. I think Garrett Crochet is probably the biggest reason for that. You know, there's not many guys in the league like him. Right? I mean, you can count on one, maybe two hands total, like guys that you just feel that good about every time they get the ball. That's a big difference from previous years. Another one that shouldn't be ignored is sort of the state of the American League.
Yep. Well, that's factored into they're now in a wild card position versus not the last couple of years, but I agree with that.
No, 100%. But like, to answer, like, should you buy in on this team? Should you believe in this team? Yeah. It's sort of a separate argument, but like the Celtics are down, but the Eastern Conference is also down. So that becomes sort of an interesting equation, like how that's all going to play out. The American League doesn't have teams running away with it. Like the Baltimore Orioles, the last couple of years were a lot better. They are bad this year. So like you remove them from the conversation. The whole Central, or no, maybe it's the whatever. Like you're in a pretty good spot as far as that is concerned. There's not teams like breathing down your neck. Even when they were 2.5 back last year, for example, there were all these teams around you too.
Well,
like
lots
it was
of,
just
lots of teams to leapfrog and lots of teams.
Yeah, way
in a
more competitive.
Spot. Yeah.
Way more competitive. So many different kind of outcomes, which I think for the stat based nerds like Breslow and some of the other guys in the front office, that's what they were looking at. They were looking at, you know, playoff odd percentages. And based on the teams around you, they were going to be a lot lower than they are this year. So the run differential is good. Garrett Crochet probably still the biggest reason. Throw in Alex Bregman, throw in Chapman, you know, no Roman Anthony or Marcelo Meyer from a year ago. All that stuff kind of going in the right direction. Say it on Rafaela, the kind of season he's having. Toss that all into the mix. Add in the American League being down this year. And, yeah, that's why they should be. Hell, I thought they should have been a buyer last year and the year before.
Agreed.
So I triple think they should be a buyer this year.
You mentioned the playoff odds. Brad Foe wrote about this as well. It's increased from yesterday. They have a 49% chance of making the playoffs, 48.6, according to Fangraphs.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's a team worth investing in. And I do think this team is different. They have constantly dropped off in the month of August under Alex Cora. How do you combat that? You make an actual move and
don't have a disappointing deadline.
Right. The last time they made an actual move at the deadline, and there's a caveat to it because he wasn't healthy when they got him, Kyle Schwarber, who they happened to play tonight.
Yep.
Now a Philadelphia Philly. So maybe that's a nice
reminder.
Closing
in on, what, 60 home runs?
Yeah.
This guy.
That's a nice reminder that, you know, you add to your team, you'll be rewarded for that. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number. It's also the text line. We're being told, Keith, we have full approval for stat of the week. Dan Patrick already has the stat of the day, though.
Oh, all right, let's scrap it.
Well, what?
Why? Well, no, just I don't want to steal an idea, so forget that.
He's day.
Yeah, I guess. It's close.
We're
in the same ballpark.
He's day. We're weak.
Yeah, I guess.
You think he does a Haas of the day?
He probably does.
If
he's smart,
if Dan Patrick,
he's doing a Haas of the day.
Dan Patrick all this time has been doing a Haas of the day. We didn't even know about it.
Right under our noses?
Damn it.
Yeah.
Dan Patrick. Right. So we just got Simpsons did it is what we just did.
We got Simpsons did it. Did he do Terp stat for his stat of the day?
Good point.
Somebody go back and listen to all Dan Patrick.
I don't know what he did for his stat of the day.
He's like, Justin M. Turpin.
Maybe he hasn't named it yet. Maybe we beat him to at least our stat of the day.
And I'm curious like a cat as to what his stat of the day was.
All right. Well, oblivious. We are on this one. But I guess credit to Dan Patrick. You beat us to it. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number. I will mix in a few Celtics thoughts later on this hour. But right after trending with Billy Lanny, let's get to the Red Sox. What is the biggest need? Because I think there's some question now about what their biggest need is entering the trade deadline.
A couple of weeks ago, I would have said they have to get a number two starter. Not that such an animal is available, but I would have thought, yeah, that's what they needed right behind Crochet. But since Bayo and Giolito have come on, I don't know that you need a number two now. You can get the best available in the lower tier. And one guy I mentioned was Charlie Morton. And Charlie Morton is a guy who has ties with Alex Cora going back to the 2017 Astros. He also, after that horrible start, and he was kind of the poster child for the Orioles' bad beginning, 3.05 ERA in his last 59 innings. So he's kind of become Charlie Morton again. And the price for him wouldn't be the price as it would be for, I don't know, Merrill Kelly or somebody like that. So maybe that's one option. And it's just an option.
Feels like the DA show is what this feels like.
Flashbacks.
Yeah, what do you got, a battle meter over
just
there?
It goes to 100. better than the compete level for sure.
Where are my Mario coins?
That's good. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like we bring that back.
This feels very DA-esque is what this feels.
It's just a good track.
Good track. I agree.
Really good.
Good track. You were out one of these days, Keith, but when I did my top five rappers.
Jay-Z on there?
He's in there.
He's in top five?
Trying to remember off the top of my head.
Mintberry Crunch, number two. Who else do you have in there?
Yeah, top five Friday.
Yeah.
Me versus Hip Hop Arcand.
That's right. You guys did rappers.
Yeah, Jay-Z was on my list.
It's a good one.
I don't recall where. But yeah,
me and Lanny last week did top five 90s horror movies.
I saw this.
Then got Wiggy to call in and tell us which ones were right and wrong.
Oh, wait. See, Wiggy didn't call in when we did top five rappers.
I feel like you would have. I feel like you would have. You know,
I feel personally disrespected, honestly, if Wiggy's calling you, but not me.
Well, that's
true. I personal affront.
I remember, speaking of rappers, I believe when DMX sadly passed, I think Wiggy said he was like top five all time. And I was like, that seems high. But then again, your list is your list.
Well, maybe Wiggy just had an issue with your guys' list, and he was like, Jones, perfect list. I think I had DMX.
Oh.
I think I had DMX one.
So maybe he did. Chef's kiss.
Yeah.
Chef's kiss. Really. I have no notes.
From afar. My hat's off to you, sir.
Because he always has to tell Keith that Seven and The Silence of the Lambs are not horror movies.
He just disagrees not only on the ranking, but the genre that I put certain movies in.
List.
He didn't like your
list.
Hated.
Yeah, mine wasn't slasher enough for him. It was too psychological for him.
Got it. Now, I do hear a lot of Wiggy yelling at Keith about movies, television shows.
You should have seen how fired up he was, though, because we told him what the topic was going to be during the break. And I was like, but Billy doesn't know my list, and I don't know his, so I'm not going to tell you what's even on my list.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, and he's like going back and forth. He's like, well, you got to have Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm like, well, that was from 84, so it won't make the 90s list. He's like, all right, what about Chucky? I'm like, that was also from like 88. He's like, ah. So then he ended
that's
up.
Fairness.
He circled back though, and he gave us some really good.
He
ones.
He did his own research.
He did.
You're good.
He did. He
that's an important
when
thing
films
to do.
Are released.
You got to do your own research,
yeah,
Keith. It's not just you don't just take everybody else's research.
That's true.
Do your own.
He did.
Okay. Well, good for him.
Yep. The results are in.
All right. Before we were sidetracked there, you heard Ken Rosenthal with the Red Sox big trade deadline prize.
Yes.
Charlie Morton.
Wah, wah.
Who I didn't realize this, but Keith informed me is older than
us.
Each of us.
Yep.
Brag.
He grew up during the Eisenhower administration. So he's an older player. And also like, oh, they could get vintage Charlie Morton. Charlie Morton's been in the majors for, I think, 18 years.
Yep.
He was an all-star twice in back-to-back years. And really not a fringe all-star any of the other times. He has a career ERA over 4. His ERA this season is over 5.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good.
No, I'm not really – I'm not looking for Charlie Morton.
Charlie Morton has pitched 18 years in the bigs.
That's a lot.
So even though we made fun of him for being older than us, I mean, that is – it's a nice career.
It's very impressive.
18 years in the bigs. He's gotten Cy Young votes once, which I'm surprised he ever even got them. He finished third in the Cy Young in 2019.
Wasn't a down year.
But he had back-to-back years where he was an all-star, including overlapping with Alex Cora in Houston – in 2017 and 2018.
You know how bad the year was, 2019, the year of our Lord, for the AL Cy Young?
Was it a Garrett Cole year? It must have been a Garrett Cole year.
So Cole finished second, Verlander finished first. So two studs.
Okay.
So also receiving votes that year, in addition to Charlie Morton.
Hang on. 2019.
8 total pitchers received votes, and you know 3 of them, Verlander, Cole, Morton. So 5 other guys.
Wait, Sale must have got votes, right?
No.
He didn't?
In 19, no.
Huh.
But one Red Sox did.
Oh?
Yeah, and a couple former Red Sox.
Okay.
One current Red Sox who wasn't with the Red Sox.
Evaldi?
No.
Who the hell got votes in 2019?
Eduardo Rodriguez.
Ugh.
Or Eduardo Rodriguez got votes. Lucas Giolito got votes.
Oh, yeah, he was White Sox.
Year.
Yeah.
Lance Lynn.
Okay.
And Mike Minor. Oh, and Shane Bieber.
Lance Lynn was Jackie Bradley Jr.'s nightmare. Or did he like to hit off Lance
No,
Lynn?
He did not.
Oh, okay.
Lance Lynn was tough.
Friend of the show, JBJ.
Lynn had a good year that year, though.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was
He must have faced Bradley a lot. A lot of Jackie Bradley at-bats that year,
maybe
I think.
So.
Yeah,
maybe so. Maybe so. But
that'll help the stats.
That was 2019.
No offense to friend of the show, Jackie Bradley Jr., but that'll help the stats for
and
a pitcher.
We did have people text in. They were saying, oh, he was good, you know, 5 years ago. Keith must love him. No. I have a cutoff. You got to be good post-COVID. So if you're good in 21, I still believe in you.
Yeah.
Like Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
I believe in you.
2019?
Out. Too old.
2020 depends.
Too long ago.
2020, it depends.
It's true.
Depends on
football,
where
it's football, sure.
Yeah.
Baseball in front of nobody? No.
Yeah. Not going to count that.
Can't have it. But no, Charlie Morton, as much as we're kind of clowning on him, if you said you added Joe Ryan, or you added Nathan Eovaldi. I know he has back spasms, but if you add somebody like that and then also added Morton to sort of push Richard Fitz out of the rotation, then I'm okay with it. But I'm saying, like, if he's your big trade deadline acquisition, I don't know how anybody's going to get excited about it.
He's 41, soon to be 42, 5-8, 5.58 ERA on a terrible Orioles team. He has a lifetime ERA over 4. 4.08, I mean, that's respectable.
Yeah, you know, he's not a bum. I just, like, this year, I don't want him.
But, yeah, I don't even know if I want vintage Charlie Morton. Never mind whatever this version is of Charlie Morton. And you said this earlier, Keith. Charlie Morton, James Paxton, it might as well be the same thing. I mean, that is my real takeaway from this. And if he's an add-on trade, a supplemental trade to a big move, fine. Great move. But if he is your signature move, when Breslow is talking about quote-unquote impact arms, he's not that.
No.
And I'm as Brez pro as they come, Keith.
Yes, you are.
But if that's his move,
yeah,
then you're basically looking at the same deadline from a year ago. And that means somebody else is going to get Joe Ryan, or somebody else is going to get Edward Cabrera, Sandy Alcantara, Dylan Cease. Somebody else is going to get all these guys. The two names the Red Sox were scouting over the weekend. Diamondback starters Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly. Those might be teams you're squaring off against in the AL race. And if your answer to that is Charlie Morton, that blows.
It's
not. Ken Rosenthal isn't the only person to bring up that name. You said Bradford brought it up last week.
Yeah, we were asking him, obviously, about Joe Ryan, who he talked to one-on-one during the All-Star break.
So that means that name is out there and connected to the Red Sox, maybe even from the Red Sox.
I don't like that.
I don't like that at all.
They gotta go higher. Now, I know there's a little bit of a dance that all these GMs have to play. So the Twins right now can say, we're not trading Joe Ryan. Like, you know, there's no way. Like, we're going to need your entire farm system. And the Red Sox can say, like, well, we're keeping our top guys. We like where we're at. Like, we don't even need to do that. It's like, well, 2 weeks from now, is there not a deal that can be done? And I also think overpaying a little bit, meaning, like, is the amount of prospects for this current Red Sox team, I don't think should stand in the way because of how young your major league roster is. So on a daily basis, you have Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, Seydon Rafaela, Willy Abreu, Carlos Narvaez. That's five guys that are 26 or younger. And Anthony and Meyer even way younger. But half your lineup is, and some of those guys are under contract, but I mean, that is a really young team. So it's not like you're punting on the password or was it Peyton Tolley or like your prospects, and you have all like mid-30s guys you're just hanging, and then it's going to be like fall off a cliff in a couple years. Like, no, your team is kind of set for the future. Throw in Brian Bayo with the arms.
And again, like, what would you rather trade? An outfielder who's not even on the big league roster? Because they can't all play, right?
That's the thing you're running into now.
Right, exactly. The idea is you're trading Duran because you can't fit everybody in the outfield. Well, your big prospect is an outfielder.
Right.
So I'd rather just trade him. I don't even know what he is. He's a prospect. I know what Duran is. He's not having a great year. He almost killed Yoshida over the weekend.
Yep.
And, you know,
you think Yoshida being low to the ground helped him stand
that,
his feet?
I think that aided him, I think otherwise, he's getting his head taken off. But, Duran is still running into outs and making questionable plays in the field, and he's still not hitting. I at least know what he is in the big leagues. I don't know what the password is. Josh Stinkson. I don't know what he is.
Yeah.
And I would rather move the outfielder from the minor leagues who's not helping the big league team because he's never going to play up here anyway.
I know.
So, right.
I mean, they're still looking for spots for like Christian Campbell. Like, they have a pretty loaded farm system. But first of all, not all those guys are going to be good major leaguers. And then, hypothetically, dream scenario, they are all good. You can't play them all. But right now, you have needs with the rotation. And we keep going back to Joe Ryan, but that guy also isn't going to – he's on a rental. He's not here and then he's gone. Like, you're also trading young players that have a lot of, you know, team control for a guy who also has team control, but you already know he's a good major leaguer and it's a position of need. So, I don't know. I mean, short of, like, something insane like Marcelo Meyer, like, I don't really know what the overpay would be. Like, if you're just looking at the minor league system, I think they could do it. And I know that's – a lot of times, it's a little short-sighted, like trading all these minor leagues. Just because you haven't seen them doesn't mean they're not going to be great. The team is set up with a lot of young guys already playing, and Joe Ryan would help tremendously.
True. It doesn't mean they won't be great. That's true.
They might be.
They probably won't, though. Most prospects don't pan out the way you expect. Some do.
The Sox have never been burned by it in the last 20 years, right? Like, you can go back to Jeff Bagwell and whatever, but Hanley Ramirez was a really good player. Anthony Rizzo himself was a pretty good player. They've had some guys that ended up being like good players, but you always got a massive return, and chances are you won a World Series afterwards.
Right. Adrian Gonzalez, at the end of the day, who would I rather have? Maybe Rizzo over Gonzalez, yeah. But that was a real return.
And it made sense,
Hanley
too.
Hanley Ramirez, you won a World Series with the Beckett trade. I don't lament losing Hanley Ramirez.
Same trade, you won a World Series.
Yeah.
Even the David Price.
Good point.
Or no, David Price was signing. Craig Kimbrell trade was a big trade.
Now, the text line is they tend to get out of pocket from time to
time.
They're now comparing Charlie Morton to Rich Hill. Rich Hill is
in the ballpark.
Rich Hill is already 45. Well, we wouldn't even, if we were all in high school at the same time, Rich Hill would already be in college when we were in high school.
Yeah, yeah.
We would have been in high school with Charlie Morton. He's older than us.
He would have been a grade ahead of us.
He would have been a grade up.
Yeah.
You know, we would have overlapped with Charlie. Yeah. We weren't going to overlap with Rich Hill.
We wouldn't have missed Rich Hill.
We wouldn't be in high school. He'd already be, right. You know. Coming back
unless
to high school.
Like McConaughey from Days of Confused.
Yeah.
Unless he's Trip.
Exactly. He would be that. He would be that kind of guy. Yeah, okay.
Actually, wasn't Brazil just at the David Robertson workout, and he's 40?
Yeah, Robertson signed, though, right?
Well, 40's the new 30.
Yeah. So did Rich Hill. I think he's in the minor leagues with Kansas City.
Oh, boy.
Although, if his bones hurt half as much as my bones, I don't know. I don't bounce back like I used to. Also, over the weekend, Jones, I had a little bit of a Yellow Jackets nest happening.
Oh, a little bit of one? Yeah.
Oh, I got sick brag, bro. So, behind my, doorbell, the doorbell doesn't work, but there's still a doorbell there. There's a lot of activity.
Lot of these yellow jackets. Say that again. What doesn't work? The door or the doorbell doesn't?
Doorbell doesn't. The door still works.
Because of all the yellow jackets.
No, it's unrelated.
Okay.
It's been there like this for a while.
Got it.
So then I'm out there with, a spray can.
Uh-huh.
One got on me and didn't leave. Look at this.
Wow!
This is from, 3 days ago.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Still giant red mark, and it hurts to the touch. Guys got in there.
But
good.
It looks, it at least looks like it doesn't, it's not raised at all.
It was yesterday.
Yeah.
It was up there pretty good. This bastard got on there, and I tried smacking him off. He got me twice.
Nice. Smacked him off. Nice.
I killed a lot of his brothers and sisters, but man, did it hurt.
Yeah.
Oh. You forget how much the stupid little bee sting hurts.
It was a Pyrrhic victory for the Yellow Jacket, but it was, and yet.
He got me good.
A victory, though.
Nah,
okay.
He got me.
So he just really got in there and
didn't let up.
No.
I don't know if that was a bite or a sting or both, but it, holy mackerel. It's not good.
I told you what my wife calls a yellow jacket.
What's that? Oh, yeah, you have.
Meat bee.
A meat bee. I got the meat bee stings.
It's taking chunks out
all
of
over me.
That's why they call them a meat bee, famously.
I don't know if I'm supposed to urinate on it or what, but something needs to give. I still feel it.
You need someone else's urine.
Well, yeah.
Your own urine, I think.
Well, never mind.
No, you'd be resistant to it. You need another individual's urine.
It's like taking up most of my forearm, this giant, red rash.
How do we make it? We're so far into almost 3 hours into the show. How did this not come up?
Well, I was trying to be a professional about it, but no, it's on my mind. Wow. I keep grabbing at it during the breaks.
Real red.
It's super red. It's irritated.
Yeah, yeah.
The skin is irritated throughout.
Wow.
Man. Every year, these guys come and set up shop somewhere new.
You're lucky you're so young. That would have killed Charlie Morton.
It would have killed him.
It would have taken him out.
If I was Macaulay Culkin from My Girl, out.
Yeah, that's true, for sure.
No, but they set up shop everywhere. We had
but for sure.
That giant bee hive, remember? That was at my house.
Yeah, I remember,
We had the one last year. They were burrowing in, and they were getting into our bedroom. And then everyone, you'd look up, and there'd be two just floating around. You're like, probably should get those. Before they sting the kids.
Souvenir of the honeycomb from the colony that almost killed my husband.
Almost.
That was my wife.
Almost killed Keith.
All right.
That's the day my wife called in.
Well,
yeah.
It's an interesting update. I was unaware of that.
Anyway, so I am playing a little hurt right about now.
For sure.
Yeah. Just grinding through it.
It's not going to stop you. It's not going to stop. It almost did.
Yeah.
But it's not going to stop Jones and Keith.
Yep.
617-779. 7937. You can jump in there. And let's get to the Celtics, or at least an ex-Celtic. Marcus Smart is now a Laker?
What?
How do we feel about that? What's next? Jones and Keith, WEEI. Get back to the Patriots at the top of the hour, 1 o'clock. We have some rankings. I like a good ranking.
Oh, who doesn't like rankings?
From ESPN. They came out with the top starting lineups in the NFL. Another way to measure
top
talent.
Starting lineups.
Yeah, top 22. Not all 22, top 22.
Top 22. I like it.
Where the Patriots slot in, we can get to that.
Whoa.
Along with Stephon Diggs and his timeline for a return, something I was very wrong about. Sounds like he's trending towards week one. So we'll get to that coming up. Meanwhile, Marcus Smart is now a Laker.
What?
Keith, How do you feel about that? Heck? How do you feel about that?
It's strange for sure because they had the graphic already. You know how they do where they like Photoshop the jersey or they edit it to look like he's already in the jersey. So they're like, breaking news, Marcus Smart with the Lakers, and they got him in like the gold, and you're like, what? And then somebody had a great tweet before where they showed Rajon Rondo, little Isaiah Thomas, and Marcus Smart all in Laker uniforms. And you're like, what on earth is this?
So I read a list of these. Avery Bradley was another one.
Yeah.
There's been a bunch that have gone over to the Lakers side of it.
It's weird. It is. I mean, it's not weird to see players play on another team. Like, if we watch Tom Brady play for another team, you can literally watch anybody play for another team. But, yeah, going to the Lakers. Like, there are certain teams where it's a lot.
What do you think of the fit?
I mean, I don't know what he has left in the tank. It seems like it's been a mess since he has left. He didn't even stay in Memphis. Then he goes to Washington.
Well, it was a mess while he was here, FYI. But
fair.
But it's been a greater mess since he left, yeah.
I always liked him a little bit more than you did, but at the same time, they needed to move on from him. They did. They immediately got better when they moved on from him. Like, that's pretty telling. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's one of those guys that I guess can still defend. And, you know, what else is he going to bring to the table? I'm sure LeBron's going to love it when he's, like, missing threes and they're skipping it over to him and he's bricking threes. Very streaky shooter. So, I don't know how much he's going to really help them, to be honest. Like, the Lakers move to get DeAndre Ayton, you're like, oh, that's a pretty good move, like, especially real cheap dollars. That's not bad.
I guess so I was thinking about it as, like, Smart next to Luka, who can't defend. That, to me, makes sense, but LeBron or Luka kicking out to open shooters, that's a killer. So
I take great shots, I'm a great shooter.
Those guys create so many wide open looks.
Oh, man. Yeah. Actual sound bites from Marcus Smart if the Lakers are good. And that actually will be good. I hadn't even thought about that till I heard him.
Yeah, it'll be.
Those guys try to pass the ball. They don't want to pass the ball.
Is he going to
Luka dribbles through 15 guys.
Luka's going to be like, dude,
hey,
stop.
Sports Illustrated, if you're listening, are you going to put Marcus Smart on the cover with LeBron and Luka like you did with Tatum and Jaylen Brown?
I think
with
maybe
Smart,
not.
Smart in the middle?
I think not.
Are you going to do that? Is that what you're going to do with this Lakers team? I haven't even thought about that.
Don't believe so.
Are you surprised at all he didn't come back here? Because I am a little surprised he didn't want to run it back here and that Brad didn't want him back. I think I know your counterpoint to this, but maybe it's just a money thing. The Lakers could give it to him. The Celtics couldn't. I'm surprised this reunion didn't happen. I was fearful when I read the tweet as the Wizards buy out Marcus Smart. I'm like, crap, he's coming back here. And then the next line of the tweet was, and he's signing with the Lakers, something like that. But I thought the second he got bought out, he was due back. I thought he would be back here.
Yeah, I think like if it was the big man version of Marcus Smart, maybe he would be. Maybe they'd reunite. But they're probably looking
He could guard bigs, Keith. He could guard one through five.
He'll guard you one
he
through five.
He could switch off on anything.
No, like a Sean Marion.
Yeah, did you ever see him matched up on somebody? He'd guard Embiid.
I have.
He would guard
Giannis.
Porzingis.
Yeah.
He'd take those guys out.
Oh, sure he would.
He'd erase them.
He'd back you right down, too. Yeah. He's no problem.
So don't give me the positional thing. He'd guard one through five.
That's a good point. Yeah. No, but I just feel like on the floor, that's all you have right now is guys that are ones and twos and, you know, some small four. You don't have anything much bigger than that. So I think it's for the best. You know, I think it's, you know, let him live out his days. It doesn't mean it's not weird seeing him in a Lakers uniform. That's going to be very strange, but also just the nature of the NBA and really all professional sports at this point.
Let me give you one more from Mark Stein.
This I don't get.
The Stein line.
Sure.
Substack. You read any Substacks over there?
It's Mutstack.
Is a Substack?
I think that's a Substack.
Mutstack is a Substack?
I think so.
I didn't know that.
I think.
Why then I read a Substack every Friday?
It's got Stack in the name. I assume it is.
Shout out Mutt.
Yeah.
League sources say the Suns have also had some recent dialogue with former All-Star Ben Simmons.
What?
Who I'm told has also drawn interest in free agency from the Celtics, the Knicks, and the Kings.
No, he's not.
What do you mean?
Ben Simmons is not getting interest from any of these teams.
That's what the Steinline Substack
said. No, all due respect to the Steinline.
It's at least the top two Substack, as far as I'm concerned.
If you were like, Joe Mazzulla could rank the players he wants from 1 to 1,000, uh-huh. Ben Simmons would be 1,000.
Don't you feel like Mazzulla loves Smart, though?
No, Ben Simmons.
No, but I'm saying... Marcus Smart also couldn't shoot.
I don't think Mazzulla likes Smart.
You don't think so?
No, not really.
I think he didn't like being upstaged by Marcus Smart. Like when Marcus Smart was like, hey man, get out of here. I'm going to draw plays on the clipboard.
All right.
But I bet he loved like the tenacity and all that stupid
stuff.
No, Marcus Smart.
But Marcus Smart, you don't have to ask him to shoot. Joe Mazzulla's thing is you need to shoot the open shots.
Yeah, he doesn't really care
you
if
you have
miss.
To take them.
Good point.
Ben Simmons,
you need to take them.
Ben Simmons will be wide open. Good He's point. Like, that's the greatest shot in basketball is the open corner three. Why did you dribble it twice and then pass it to the other side?
Good point.
He would lose his mind.
Good point.
He would love the defense of Ben Simmons, but and none of it else.
Yeah.
The best line ever, I think it was PFD commenter from Pardon My Take, said Ben Simmons would be the greatest basketball player of all time if there was no ball. If it was just like playing defense and like running around, like 6'10", like the whole thing, like if the ball is what screws him.
Although he throws a mean bounce pass, Keith.
Yeah.
That guy will give you a nice crisp bounce pass.
Yeah. All right, maybe he meant no hoop. Maybe I messed up the line.
Yeah, no
basically
hoop.
No hoop. If there's no hoop,
that
do everything
sense.
Else.
Yeah. If there were no hoops,
he's awesome.
Ben Simmons would crush
it. Looks like $1 billion.
So this is discouraging. It's like I was already discouraged by the Lillard interest. Which you said this off the air to me. I'm sure you guys talked about this last week, but like, what a loser move all the way around by the Blazers, by him.
Yeah, it's just sort of like,
but I'm happy he's not here. I didn't even like that they were slumming it with Lillard, who was going to miss this year. Never mind the Ben Simmonses of the world.
No. Yeah, I don't need Ben Simmons. Damian Lillard probably is the right move to not have him back, or you're better off. I don't need Marcus Smart. Now, the one thing I don't want, some of the rumors were popping up over the weekend, too, is like, are they going to trade Simons? Like, is Simons going to be long for here? I want Simons, but I'm not, like, buying the jersey yet.
Simons greater than Simmons.
Yeah, oh, for
yeah,
sure.
For sure. Simons over Simmons.
Simons always over Simmons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I hadn't seen those. Those are back in the
news.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, could they deal Simons? And you're like, eh.
Boy.
They could. I hope they don't.
I was out of the country, Bragg. I missed some good dirt there.
Yeah.
Okay. 617-779-7937. You want to jump in on the Celtics? You can. We'll get back to the Patriots. Another list. More of the same takeaways, plus Stephon Diggs and his timeline for a return. Very, very promising. That's next.